Blog Talk Radio.
Fifth Dimensional Living with your host, Diane Bachberger. Diane has been given message from the fifth dimension and higher to bring greater peace and understanding to the lives of others. She lives and experiences these higher dimensions to help our world come into balance and to raise to a higher vibration of love. You can find more information on Diane on Facebook at www.facebook.com/dbachberger1 as she shares great wisdom with the world. Let's welcome your host of Fifth Dimensional Living, Diane Bachberger.
Hello, everyone. This is Diane, and thank you for listening in on Fifth Dimensional Living. What propels a civilization into the next step? And this is what Fifth Dimensional Living is all about. So join me over the next hour or so as I take you into the fifth dimension and beyond. Today is the 17th of October, 2013. 17 has been a very powerful number for very many people. And I have a friend on Facebook that 17 fits very predominantly, I can't talk today, in his life. And this number is very pivotal and very special today. And there is a whole different surge of energy and energy changes today. This is the exact center of the Uranus-Pluto squares that have been going on since 2012 and will continue to 2015. And the fourth square is happening November the 24th, 2000. Oh, wait a minute. I'm getting excited there. November the 1st, 2013. That's something totally different. Sorry about that. It's been one of those challenging days today where everything sort of is being done at the last minute around me, and it's got me fully charged. And this morning, it was a pretty powerful energy that was shifting. I'm going to call this a pivotal point, and I've talked about it, about energy changing, and I've been talking about it for a few weeks now. But this is the pivotal point. I noticed yesterday, and yesterday was the last day of the year in the Mayan calendar, which is pretty interesting, that people were talking more about how they didn't like the way things are being run. And they were, I just noticed a lot more people on Facebook and people around me awakening and really starting to notice what's going on and what they don't like about things. So I think that's pretty interesting that all these things are happening. And then tomorrow is the full moon lunar eclipse in Aries, which is pretty powerful in itself too. So today actually is the first day of the rest of the year of the Mayan calendar also. So, you know, things are really, really, really going to start moving now. And there could be, like I said many times before, great revelation within humanity, which is happening, I'm starting to see, or revolution, which means that things are completely going to change. You know, the U.S. government is not in office right now. So, you know, there's a lot of different things happening. And the American Thanksgiving, I'm not exactly sure of the date, but around November the 28th, there's also going to be this comet, ISON, I-S-O-N, that is going to come really close to the sun and melt down or explode or, you know, anything could happen. Could be the end of that that comet. So, you know, there's a lot, many, many things going on. And I just want to let you know that Fifth Dimensional Living is being broadcast on Blog Talk, and it's simultaneously being broadcast on Impact Player Music Nation. So please go to www.ipmnation.com to find out about their many shows and all the Earth Angels radio shows. Again, www.ipmnation.com. And, you know, if you want to find out more of our radio shows, please go to www.earthangelsradio.com to find out about the many radio shows that we have on Earth Angels Radio. All the shows that we do on Earth Angels Radio, which was started by Carol Guy in 2007, are all about the inner journey and looking within yourself and awakening. This is all about the heart awakening, going within yourself and shifting energy and expanding energy and going to fifth-dimensional consciousness. So this is what the show is about. In three-dimensional consciousness, it's the energy is not as flowing. It's more, I don't want to use the word stagnant, but it's not flowing energy. And it's based more on the ego and materialism and the physical. And the ego runs the show, well, with some people anyway. But in fifth-dimensional consciousness, we still have an ego. But, you know, the ego, we baby the ego and, you know, let it know that in no certain terms is it going to be taken over. So it's a big shift in energy, and a lot of humanity is going through it right now. It's being shown in the stars. You know, whatever happens in the microcosm, which is within humanity, happens in the greater picture. So when I talk about anything that has to do with astrological things, it's really a reflection of what is going inside of humanity. So it's really important right now for humanity to go within themselves and to look at what hasn't worked and look at the false security systems that have been set up as an illusion here and go beyond them to cut those cords and, you know, be like the bird flying out of the cage. You know, fear has been a big thing here in 3D. And, it, you know, today is the day to look within yourself and look at trust. Trust is important. And with love and in heart consciousness and expansion, there is more trust. I want to talk today about some animal totems, the ladybug, the dragonfly, the elephant, clouds, and I think there's something more, but I'll talk about it along the way. You know, sometimes I get messages about things, and I connect to source, and the show's done in the moment. So as we go along, and it is a live show, so if anybody has any questions, the number is 646-200-4169. You know, so don't be shy if you have any questions at all. You know, lately, there's been a lot going on, a lot of solar action, which indicates that humanity is giving off a lot of energy, and there's and some expansion going on. The cyclone I think it's pronounced Phalen. It's the biggest storm ever in recorded history, happened starting Saturday, October the 12th, and 2013. It was stronger than Katrina in a very densely populated area of India, and it was 241 kilometers per hour coming off the Bay of Bengal, and they cleared 600,000 people, moved them to higher ground. They were prepared for it. If they hadn't have done that, many people would have lost their lives. And I guess they were saying about 15 million people were affected by this storm. And also there was some flooding in China, and there was a typhoon in the Philippines and Vietnam, and there was another one in the Pacific. So, you know, I guess 1 billion people in China were affected by these different storms. So that's a great big chunk of the population. I just wanted to mention that because that's, you know, when things happen around us, especially happen with water, It means something shifting within the energy on the planet. I've heard that, you know, the Arctic ice fields are expanding again, but also the weather patterns on the Earth, I guess because of the solar flares, within four-day period, it was 34 solar flares. And because of the shift in energy on the Earth and within humanity, these things don't cause as big of an effect as they would have in the past, and we're in now time. So the illusion of linear time is just an illusion. We're actually existing in now time. And more miracles and manifestation can happen in now time. I think it was a couple weeks ago I talked about the divine vortex and how it opened up in November of 2011. And, you know, a lot of changes have been happening. You know, I was talking about, you know, these storms and things like that. Last year, Hurricane Sandy caused a lot of devastation, and, you know, people are just starting to put their lives back together. Schools are being rebuilt. You know, people are rebuilding. And I just want to put an intention out for the people in all these areas of safety and just love from me. So, you know, there's been a lot going on energy-wise and water-wise on the planet. And because of a lot of the water melting and a lot of energy water-wise going, you know, moving around on the planet, it can cause a lot of different things. I also want to talk about a little bit about Neptune today and what it means, and just touch on that a little bit. Also about flow, optimal experience. You know, this is a time of great creativity and recreation and breaking down of the old and building up of the new. So a lot of humanity is going to be having these optimal experiences, and dream time is changing. So there'll be more creativity, more openness. A lot of people have been experiencing flying in dream time, where they never had it before, in more lucid dreams and being aware of what's going on in dream time. I heard last week the space shuttle, I'm trying to remember what the name of it was. It was going to, anyway, I'll touch on that a little bit later. And I've been getting the numbers 66 and 33 a lot lately. And 66, the transformation of time, I've been seeing that as, you know, we're becoming more into eternal time and more into now time. And now time means just experience things in the moment. You don't think about the past. You don't think about the future. You focus on the beauty and love within yourself, and that is mirrored around you in experiences you're having at that moment. You know, inspiration. What causes inspiration within you? Inspiration is part of, goes into the optimal experience. Security. I want to talk about fear and security and human needs. You know, I was talking about this November 1st, the fourth square happening, and a lot of big changes happening for humanity, and humanity are really feeling it. So it's important to feel that security within yourself, not on the outside of yourself. And, you know, there's people that I've noticed that are speaking up. You know, a lot of people have just been kind of blindly going along, but now they're seeing, you know, things haven't been fair. You know, when all these people that have money, they're seeing this, and they're seeing that they're getting tax breaks, and, you know, the poor seem to be paying more, and the middle class seem to be, you know, paying more. This Maslow's hierarchy, you know, it says that you have to have the basic needs to get higher. But, you know, it's sort of happening the opposite. People are going within themselves and seeing the security within themselves and mirroring that around themselves. So it's important that we focus on that right now. Put the intention out to feel secure within ourselves, within the body, within ourselves. The etheric body of the tree is a mirror of humanity's etheric body, and I would like to talk a little bit about that today. You know, fear has been a big thing in 3D, and like I was saying, it's now time to trust within ourselves. And clouds within the sky, they symbolize, especially in the holy books, divine intervention. And I'm going to, you know, talk about that. You know, Neptune is figuring lately in the stars. And, you know, that's why I want to talk about Neptune also. You know, fear is illusion. All the things that we have around us are, you know, security blankets like churches and the government. You know, they're things that we created to try to connect, well, religion with God. But now we have to have that connection and open that up within ourselves to source. And, you know, not do it through religion. I mean, you can still have religion. I'm not saying not to have that because it's part of, you know, what we have here. But just seeing beyond that, not using it as a security blanket so much. And government, you know, people right now are seeing, you know, like the government's not in session right now in the United States, and people are feeling a little insecure about that. And also with the changing policies in the United States about health care, and a lot of people are upset about that. You know, things are changing. The charts are all showing a lot of change. You know, people are seeing all these changes, and they're opening up and awakening up, and they're like, holy, you know, what's going on? And Jupiter is going into Cancer, which means quick evolution. And the Saturn in the chart is pushing us for a more external direction, but really the internal is important right now. Mercury going to Scorpio and lifting that resistance. And, you know, the moon, people see it as the ego is separate from the earth. And the ego is part of us but separate. You know how the moon exists with the earth and rotates around it. You know, when we go through this lunar eclipse, it's like an awakening time to open things up and go beyond this. And it's a time that we confront things, and we need to have clarity and awareness and awakening. You know, humanity is going through this awakening, especially over the last couple of days. I've seen remarkable things happening within humanity. And it's also a time of breaking, limiting things around us and things that have held us. So, you know, limiting relationships, things in our lives, people that have held us back. But it's also having trust within ourselves and that trust within Source. So things that will open us, to the self, to the inner journey, to that connection to Source. And, you know, the intuitive part of ourselves, that connection from the heart, when we expand and the heart opens up, the upper heart opens up, it completely changes how we see things. And how we perceive things. There's more perception. There's more understanding about what's going on around us. And it's, you know, having trust within ourselves, that intuitive part of ourselves, the part that connects to Source. And, you know, there's going to be a total reestablishment of relationships with people because we see things in a different way. So there may be breaking up of relationships, and I've talked about this before, and starting of new relationships. It could be new relationships, could be friends from past lives and new karmic, you know, relationships to resolve the old, but in a good way, the good things. So, you know, people may be starting new relationships, new businesses. The security needs to be within ourselves right now, within our emotional selves, looking at the emotion, not reacting from the emotion, but looking at it and understanding it. You may find that during dream time, a lot of the things that I've been talking about in dream time, the feminine aspect of ourselves that we've separated from ourselves too, like the moon has separated from the earth, we're looking at it not in a detached way, but looking at the emotion that we have and looking at these emotions and then releasing them and not reacting that way. You know, when we manifest and we connect and become more intuitive and more perceptive, we manifest in a different way. We're still connected to the earth and we still manifest from the root chakra, but there's more feeling of security. I know a lot of people right now have been really feeling fear and feeling insecure. It's important to look beyond that and, you know, look at what we have around us. And, you know, Thanksgiving in Canada was this past Monday. It's all about putting those people that you feel secure around you, friends, family, and those things, and people that don't, it's time to say, you know, goodbye to them. And, you know, this Saturn and Mercury interacting is reestablishment within ourselves of the trust, and also contracts with people and business contracts and all sorts of things. And, you know, we're going into Mercury retrograde too. So it's coming up. It's all about to the old and opening up to the new. So it's a restructuring within a restructuring. And I talked about that a couple weeks ago. Last week on October the 10th, I had, there was a show, a replay of a show from May. So go back to the 3rd, I believe, and I talked about those things. It's not easy. It's not going to be an easy time. It's drastic steps may have to be made by some people. And this Scorpio aspect will make it even more intense. So watch yourself. Don't react emotionally. This will be a time where a lot of people will be reacting emotionally and they won't know why. But it's important to connect with your dream time, connect with that feminine aspect of yourself and blend it with the masculine, but also to be aware of the subconscious and breaking through the ego. You know, I was talking at the beginning about deep emotions and breaking out of the cage that have held us here, you know, in this three-dimensional kind of, well, it's not a prison, but it's a little bit more confining. And the fake security that we've created, these layers that we've created around ourselves to make ourselves feel secure, it's important that we look beyond those things and break free. And, you know, I've been talking about paradigms and creating new ways of thinking about things and seeing, you know, things haven't been working here. You know, there's a great disparity between, you know, very, very poor people and massive amounts of poor people and, you know, the very rich. You know, when 1% of the population are holding all the wealth, how fair is that? But it's just the way things have been here. It's the consciousness. There's nothing wrong or right or anything, but as we go into fifth dimensional consciousness, connection with the one and with the whole makes you see things in a different way. So I just want to let people know that. And people are seeing that, and they're like, ooh, and it's changing things. And they may see, you know, things changing and not understand it, but it's the consciousness that's changing on the planet. And because of this, you know, Mercury aspect that we're going to be having soon, it's about going back and looking at things and, you know, seeing what hasn't worked again. And we're taking another step. We keep going through these, you know, backward steps and these Pluto-Uranus squares, you know, and they take us back to look at things and help us surge forward. So it's like taking a step back, but also taking a giant leap forward each time we do it. You know, as I said, there could be rebellion, a lot of negative reactions from people, but it's important to keep in the high frequency of fifth dimensional consciousness right now. And, you know, part of us is a physical body, but more like 90% of us is beyond it. And it's, you know, these negative reactions are important to look at. You know, what are you reacting to? Are you reacting to people who are reacting negatively? You know, look at yourself and say, hey, you know, be objective and look and say, you know, this is what's going on, and I don't have to react to this. I can look at it from another perspective. It's time to look at things from another perspective. You know, humanity is becoming more mature. They're coming out of the teen years. They're becoming, expanding is the easiest thing I can say that, you know, and I've been talking about, you know, how the planetary things around us are just manifestations of what's going on within us. We're creating a new dream, a new life. Our dream time's different. This lunar eclipse that's coming up tomorrow is creating something different. It's opening us up to something else. The retrograde is creating a different perspective and us going back and looking at things. And we're taking a giant leap. You know, things here in 3D don't last forever, and they're not real. It's time to heal that separation from Source. This is the most important task humanity has within the next few weeks, is healing that separation. And I've talked about this before, but this is the turnaround time. It's really happening. It was leading up to it. It was starting to happen. Now we're right jumping full force into it. So it's important that we have that inner trust. And we don't get depressed or have a despair period. This is a rest period, but also a very intense period that we go to go into the beyond. And things really start to change. So take your sword. Think of yourself as a soldier. And you're cutting those security cords. You're going into yourself. And look at your inner child, that little part of yourself that has the wisdom and the intuition that's always been connected to God and or to Source or whatever you want to call it. You know, Thanksgiving, this is a time of thanks too, because when we change things or we see things change, it's because something within us is changing. And it's always, to look at it the perspective of being grateful that this opportunity is coming for humanity. And there are always things to be grateful, for. So, you know, the U.S. is having their Thanksgiving in November. We've already had it. So when things around us really begin to change quickly, it's important to keep strong, grounded, and conserve our energy. And the heart of the home and everything about it is important to focus on, and on close friends that keep us balanced. And, you know, you may find that a lot of new friends have come your way. You may have found in the past you've kind of gone within yourself, especially over the past few weeks. It's important not to do that, to keep within yourself. It's important to go out and seek and connect with people and to trust that inner knowing part of yourself. I'm very thankful for my children, my family, the friends that I have, and my animals, and for nature and Source and everything that's wonderful and has meaning to me. And I extend my blessings to you all, and love, peace, and grace to all of you. You know, to feel at peace with love and have that reflected without, you know, we feel it within. So when you feel those things, you know, it's part of that fifth dimensional consciousness to feel grateful for everything that you have. And in that moment, you don't think about the past or the future. You know, you don't totally forget it, and but you focus on the things that have meaning and beauty around you. And when a lot of us are connected in that way, it just totally shifts the consciousness as a collective, and that's happening. You know, the part of fifth dimensional living means having a sense of wanting to balance, even in 3D, and that even though you feel removed from people, it's important that you don't remove yourself from that connection. You know, and people feel they don't resonate too much of what's going on here because they see things in a different light. They say, hey, I don't feel like I belong here. And, you know, some of the angelic humans have really felt that. But now a lot of humanity is really starting to feel it. You know, and it's a time to feel those feelings of wanting to recreate a world of magnificence. And it's, you know, linking the balance right now, you know, the feminine, the masculine, looking at the aspects of ourselves that are changing and understanding what's going on within ourselves. And that's why I'm doing this show. So, you know, we're manifesting from that creative heart within ourselves. We've always done that, but now we're being more aware of it. And that center is happening right now, that creative center is happening right now. October 9th, the historic Earth flyby happened, where, you know, the space shuttle used the Earth's orbit to propel them in a slingshot to Jupiter. You know, this historic moment, humanity is propelling themselves using the energy of polarity. You know, we've gone to one extreme to the next. You know, a polarity just means, you know, opposites. And 3D is a world of polarity, of opposites. So when we have poor, we have rich. We have, you know, hate, love, fear, love. Fear and love are the opposites. And, you know, we've used the polarity to propel us and to expand ourselves. Well, this has happened too around us, is being mirrored around us. I believe Bill Nye has a video about this on YouTube. You know, because of the solar flares and stuff, there's been a lot of northern lights too. You know, a lot of things that have been saying, like, happening around us. Today, October the 17th, it's the new 360-day tune of the Mayan calendar. And it's activating. It's a three number today, Akabal. And three is an activating number. And like I was saying, I was seeing a lot of 333s. And, you know, it's about activating the last embers in the fire for the rebirth of the new, recreating of the unity and the dampened worldly ambitions, you know, the things that have been kept us in 3D, the materialism, the ego. There's a fire. There's embers in the fire of change. And, you know, the phoenix comes out of the fire. The bird flies off. So, you know, this will be going on. This recreation will be going on till, you know, much of the year. And, you know, this Uranus-Pluto squares are happening all the way to 2015. So these are times of great change as we go into the golden age. And we're in the age of Aquarius. We're just starting off. So yesterday was the old, and today is the beginning of a completely new energy. And I saw it really happening yesterday, and I really felt some type of energy really surging this morning. And I was on Facebook, and I saw a lot of people saying that they felt this energy, and people that have never really felt energy before were feeling it. So the perception is really expanding in humanity over the last few days. So, you know, maybe I'll talk about the animal totems in just a little while, about how they relate to these things. You know, be careful. There's big changes happening, a new direction, and it's important that we genuinely live in the now. It's not going to be easy time. You know, Jupiter in Cancer means quick evolution. You know, unplug if you have to. Stay more grounded over the next, you know, 6 weeks. You know, society and the external world are starting to break down. Saturn and the money expectations and the physical realm are, you know, have been pushed at us, and we've gone back to look at those things. And we're seeing, you know, hey, with this expansion, some of these things haven't really worked. And the moon, which is the ego, you know, it's going to be revealed. Some things are going to be revealed to us again. And, you know, the Aries aspect of the moon and the Uranus, breaking free from these constraints. It's going to be a challenging time. And, you know, I've talked about the breaking down of the old program, so we have to go deep, and we're even going to go deeper now, going within the karmic energy and releasing a lot of that energy. And understanding, you know, the ego as being, you know, something that is a part of us, but it's also separate from us, like the moon is separate from the earth. And this eclipse that is happening tomorrow, full lunar eclipse in Aries is going to really wake and shake up a lot of people. So, you know, you're going to feel the energy tomorrow. And please go within yourself and don't react to it. You know, protection here and the things we've created around ourselves to make ourselves feel protection have really been an illusion. You know, religion and government have all been really controls. And it's time for humanity to wake up. And but it's just part of the consciousness shifting. So it is happening on its own. You know, decisions that you make are going to be really important. And, you know, that grand cross that's starting right now is going to go all the way to 2014. And it began the last new moon. So there's a lot of big changes going on right now. You know, this lunar eclipse that's happening in Aries is going to be felt for quite a while, I guess all the way to March, because this is a real doozy, this one. It's 25 degrees and late in Aries, and then it's going in, you know, Aries and Taurus and moving into Gemini, the moon. So it's acting out. These energies are huge. They're going to shift. There was this wave, like I said, this morning, and you know, Mars is going into the sign of Virgo and opposing Neptune. So this Neptune's really going to be powerful energy. This week, Mercury retrograde is, or next week, Mercury retrograde is going to happen. It's going to go back over Saturn. Like I said, to look at, you know, things that have to do materialism, with money, with those different things, and how can we do things different? What is, I think that might be part of the reason why the government's not in power right now, because there's a lot of energy that's going to be really powerful, and there may be, depending on how humanity handles this energy, there could be some rebellion. And going into Scorpio and back over the moon again. So, you know, there's a lot of energy that's being released, looked at. So this six-week period is going to be pretty intense. And that we're going into that fourth, you know, November the 1st, that Pluto square, fourth Pluto square. And Mars into Virgo. And it's about the ego, you know, looking back at our ego. And this lunar eclipse is showing this. And this retrograde is showing this. This November 1st Pluto square is showing this. You know, we're going to focus on this, but we're going to manifest it into our reality, the change within our perception of the ego. Humanity is going to be doing that. And it's important not to give up. I noticed a lot of people last week were getting really frustrated, and they were, like, feeling very challenged by this time. It's because of what's going on, the energy. So make plans and see yourself as self-sufficient and connected to Source. You know, pick new friends if you have to. And if it has to do with looking at your past lives and how you reacted with ego, you'll have to go within yourself and look at that. Have meaning within your life. And, you know, don't just have people in your life for fluff is basically what I'm saying. It's important to create reality and realness in relationships and meaning within relationships. And this will give you great comfort. You know, I was talking about the etheric body of the tree. And, you know, within ourselves, the etheric body of the tree is a reflection. You know, I'm seeing the, you know, I don't know how to say this, the plant life, the etheric body changing around them. The expansion of humanity is happening. The chakras are opening up and expanding within humanity. And anybody that hasn't had that happen is really going to feel it now. There's a site I want to share with you. It's called My Spiritual Group, Spirit and Metaphysics Forum. It's Spiritual Growth and Personal Development Group. And they talk about plants and the etheric body. You know, everything in the universe is a living thing. Planet Earth is not an exception. And beauty within the planet Earth is exactly made and structured in the same way as the human body. So, you know, the Earth has chakras. Plants have chakras. They have energy. Plants, it may be a little bit different, and, you know, they're constructed differently, but, you know, everything has energy. And that's why, you know, humanity with their perception is going to start noticing more things. Like, I had this friend of mine post something on my wall on Fifth Dimensional Living. I have, if you Google Fifth Dimensional Living Facebook, you'll get, you know, my like page for Fifth Dimensional Living. Anyway, he posted a painting that he had done about the etheric body of trees, and he's starting to see that. So that's pretty amazing. And, you know, many people are seeing it. They're going, what the heck? And they're seeing auras and energy around people now. And it's happening to a lot of people because I've had people say to me, what the heck is that? So, you know, when people ask me, I do tell them. So it's why a careful and proper study of the planet Earth and everything it contains will explain a lot about our own being, the oceans, the animals, the continents, and the atmosphere. So when people see the Earth as a living thing, they will not want to hurt it, you know, as they expand their consciousness and become more aware. This forum talks a little bit about this, and they talk about subtle bodies. And there's a little link to that, and they have in the article, they have an article about the lungs of the earth. You know, the trees in Brazil are the lungs of the earth. They, you know, pertain to of the human body. So trees are really important. And, you know, the forests are very much linked to the etheric body of human being. So, you know, if the forests are being torn down, it's going to affect the etheric body around humanity, and because we're all connected, and a lot of humanity doesn't realize that. So it's really important to put those forests back if they're being used. They work the same. Trees take our CO2 and send us O2, and we give off carbon dioxide, and they use that. It says the continents is the gross part of the Earth's stomach, very much related to our human intestine. It's the extension of the stomach that swallows everything you throw at it. It is said that many stones and minerals had to go through the earth's stomach for purification. And, different gold, silver, topaz, all the different things were formed within, you know, the stomach of the earth at a deeper level. And I've been talking about going at a deeper level. Well, the earth has been doing that. The earth has been going into fifth dimensional consciousness. Humanity now has to go at this deeper level and open up the minerals within themselves, the diamond, the light part of themselves, and have it revealed to them in the energy expansion within themselves. So plants do an important job on the earth. They transport elements by absorbing impurities, the CO2, and giving us purity within ourselves, the O2. And plants do not only deal with air, but they take the sunlight. And from their flowers and leaves, they absorb the light from their roots. They absorb earth elements. And we take it within our body when we eat plants. You know, they get light which goes into the leaves and the flowers, and it's sent to the roots. And they get from the roots, it's sent to the flowers among the branches. So everything flows. You know, in fifth dimensional consciousness, things flow. And within plants, you know, things flow in a certain way. They move, you know, back and forth, like in a flow, like waves. So, you know, humanity is going to become more aware of that, more aware of the life force around things. So plants were actually among the first spirits who were sent to Earth to prepare the coming of animals. And you might even be surprised, it says here, if the insects came from fruits and leaves and certain other insects and flowers, because they're all, you know, dependent on flowers, and, you know, bees go within the flower. But, you know, so we're all interconnected, basically. This is what this person's saying. And plants are the first beings to love Earth. You know, they kiss the Earth. They touch the Earth. They're connected to the Earth. And they were to arrive after the minerals to help planet Earth long before animals and humans. It's to help the Earth be alive and to maintain the Earth. And the Earth is nurturing. It's a feminine energy. It's nurturing to plants. Not every planet has plant life, right? or as much water, and the system that's flowing the way it does on the earth, you know, the water, the way storms happen and waves happen. And water holds the resonance of frequency. We have a replica of salt water within ourselves that is very much like what the original oceans of the earth were like. You know, plants are there to help us. They're here, there to guide us if we listen to them. I connect with trees, with plants, and talk to them. You know, when humanity becomes more connected, they will, you know, start to see that too. A lot of people don't think plants have feelings and emotions, but we have feelings and emotions, and everything around us are reflective of that. So it's always important, you know, I've talked about Thanksgiving and stuff like that, for us to bless and be thankful for the food and for the things that we have on the earth and the animals and everything else around us. I won't go into more into what they say, but she talks about the etheric body. And the etheric body is the stomach for the physical body. So whatever happens in the etheric body, you know, you can see, if people are very perceptive, they can see illnesses starting in the etheric body. So it's important to care for your etheric body and, you know, clear energy and take time for yourself and meditate and get yourself into the higher frequency to help clear that. You know, the physical body swims in the etheric body. That's why you see the etheric body bordering around, you know, our body. And, you know, the energetic bodies are expanding within us, and it's going to become one energy body around us, or has for some people already. So, you know, some people don't get sick because a lot of the crystal children and some of the new children don't get sick because, you know, their energy is just different, and they're absorbing light. So we absorb light like, you know, plants do. And as we expand our energy, we take in light in a more profound sort of way. So, you know, it's really important right now to develop that etheric body. You know, the plants are showing that their etheric body is expanding, so humanity's etheric body is expanding too. And people may not understand what's going on, so that's, you know, why I'm partly doing this show. It's important to keep yourself hydrated because as we expand, the body is channeling a lot of fluid into the neurological system, you know, into the brain and into the spinal column. And it's important to keep yourself hydrated because of that. And, you know, we're taking in more sunlight into the third eye area, and the pineal gland is shifting and it's becoming more sensitive to light. So, you know, it's important to get sunlight. You know, a lot of people are keeping away from sun, but it's important to take at least 15 minutes twice a day. And then, you know, some people go out and look at the sunrise and sunset, and it shifts the energy within them too. So you may want to do that, but if you do that, you may find that you need to eat a lot less than you've had to eat before. So, you know, it's the etheric body and the physical body are attached to each other. The trees are attached to us. The etheric bodies within everything on the planet are interconnected. Part of us is connected to Source. Everything that was created is connected to Source. You know, trees have roots. We have a root chakra that connects to the physical realm, the ground of the earth. You know, we're more like plants that we even know. So, you know, people should have a lot of respect for trees because they are a reflection of us. They are a totem for humanity. And, you know, they have fruits. We have the fruit of the connection to Source. And the solar plexus is an important part of the body. It's a point which our body connects, and the etheric body sends energies, you know, back and forth through the physical body. You know how the roots and the leaves kind of flow things back and forth? Well, it's like a juncture, and you can recharge your etheric body and heal your physical body using the energy within yourself and also using sunlight and the energy from source. So there's no excuse for people to suck energy from anyone else. You know, I think I will put that on the chat room, but I won't talk too much more about it. You know, there's enormous energy and intense time right now. And as we go up to this, you know, this Sun-Uranus-Pluto T-square, you know, we're kind of leaving it, but still connected. Everything is connected. And we're increasing our potential to shift things here. It's important to see and get the task done and to do things and going beyond the paradigms and limitations that we've set here before us. And this, you know, retrograde period is going to be like a magic opening box. You know, when you see a magic box and you open it up, or, you know, those boxes, music boxes, and something pops out. Just be prepared for what pops out, okay? The divine energy is pushing to shift. It's happening within us. It's happening within all the life on the planet. It's important to hold intentions to create more flow, more release, and to release paradigm and the things that we've held and the things we've created around us, because, you know, as we shift consciousness and change the way we see things, things change around us, okay? And, you know, this is a time of rapid change, and humanity may not all see what's going on, but a lot of humanity is going to see the energy changing and see the shift. Like today, a lot of people were seeing that, and they're going to see, you know, etheric bodies and auras and, you know, energy around trees. It's important to be open to that sort of thing. And if you do have to take time to meditate and to get away, we're breaking down these gateways, these paradigms. And it's important to link the mind, spirit, and the body, and the heart, and the intuition, and the deepest truth, going in deep to see where we can shift and what we've learned, and to use it to great purpose, for divine purpose. So are you opening those pathways within yourself? You know, if you are, there's going to be a lot of unconscious thoughts coming to the consciousness. And do this without holding back. You know, people in 3D tend to put things on a subconscious shelf within themselves and to compartmentalize things. And, you know, dream time was a time to do that. But now we will be able to do it and not to be overwhelmed by it. It's just going to be flowing through us. The energy is going to be different. So, you know, a couple of weeks ago I was talking about shifts and, you know, the nervous system changing and the energy through the nose, that kind of chakra or energy gateway is going to connect the brain, mind, and heart and the nerves and unlock part of the brain that has held humanity captive. It's an intense time. And, you know, this sense of smell is very ancient. So you may notice that you smell things. Your senses may become intense. You know, some people are shutting their eyes and still being able to see. Some people that could not see all of a sudden can see. So it's going beyond the senses that have been connected to the brain. You know, when the nervous system kind of rewires itself, it connects to the heart and to source, and things are more open. So, you know, there actually are people that are able to see, and they've tested them, and there's no linkways to the brain, but they're seeing things. So it's pretty amazing. I saw this show the other night. I'm trying to remember the name of it. It's something to do with Marvel Shield, superhero show on TV. Well, this woman, she was blind, and she had the link ways in her eye made open to her. And it wasn't for a good purpose, but the technology was revealed. You know, there's something to do with unfolding energy and divine sight is being unlocked. You know, when I see things around me, I try to see how they link to what is going on around us. You know, the frequency within water is changing, and I've been working in different parts of the world with the frequency of water and bringing the energy and connecting that energy. Emotion is all about control and illusion. That's part of that extension of 3D. We're shifting to a more balanced type of emotion, and there's three places on Earth that this emotion needs to be worked on, and I'm just laying the groundwork for that energy right now, and I'm going to be going to one of those places in January to lock the energy down. So it's all about intention right now. It's all about seeing ourselves beyond the box, seeing beyond the paradigms here, keeping in that high frequency, though, you know. Let me just see. I want to talk about the elephant, because I've been seeing things about the elephant, and an elephant was being sent from Toronto. I live in Canada, being sent to Toronto to California. So I think there's some significance in that, and I've been seeing elephants everywhere. Stuff about elephants, so I want to read about elephants. Elephant on the book Animals Speak by Ted Andrews on page 267. Elephant, keynote, ancient power, strength, and royalty, cycle of power year-round. The elephant is the largest living land mammal. Although not native to this continent, I have included it because I have encountered a number of people to whom it has become a significant totem. And it is for me. It is an ancient ancestry in the mammoths. There are two types still in existence, the Indian and the African. The African is larger and the shape of the ears differ. The elephant has tremendous amount of myth and lore surrounding it. Of all the elephants, the white elephant is considered the most sacred. This is similar to the sacredness often reflected in the Native American traditions associated with the white buffalo. So it's similar. It is said the mothers are great teachers and masters will dream of white elephants. One story of Buddha's mother tells how she dreamt a white elephant had entered her womb. So it's magic. In India and Southwest Asia, elephants are venerated, and the symbolism of the elephant is multiple. It is a symbol of royalty and fertility. The Hindu god of wisdom and success, Ganesha, is depicted with the elephant's head, the god. The good Indra had several roles in which elephant played a role. As the king of gods, the elephant was the royal mount. As the god of warriors, the elephant was Indira's super weapon. As the god of rain, Indra used the gray elephant to bring forth the monsoons. You know, we've been talking about weather, too. And clouds are really important in the elephant totem also, and weather. And we've been experiencing that. The elephant is both strange and terrifying to those unfamiliar with it. Much of what the average person believes about elephants is not true. Mice do not scare them. They respond to sound, not to the movement of the mouth. So they're very acute sound. You know, we were talking about senses and sanity going through the changes about their senses. Although they do have good memories, the idea that elephant never forgets is misunderstood. It usually refers to never forgetting someone who has caused injury. So they have memories. They have, you know, humanity is opening up their perception, their memory. They're seeing what has not been done that was to the benefit, okay? And they're going to react to it now, just like the elephant reacts to it. They have known to seek revenge if the opportunity presents itself. It's important right now for humanity not to do that. It's important for humanity to remember and to look at things and awaken, but not to react with emotion with it, okay? There also are no elephant graveyards, special places where elephants go to die. So these tales are very mystical and symbolic. Elephants do show interest in the dead and the dying, even going as far to display sorrow. So they have emotion. And they embody strength and power, especially power of the libido. Male elephants are likely to rage out of control when in the rut. Because of this, the elephant has been seen as a symbol of great sexual power. Because of their size, color, and shape, elephants and clouds have been linked together. They are seen as symbols of clouds and many believe that the elephants created the clouds. Those with the elephant totem should study symbolism and significance of clouds. In general, they are symbols of the mist that separates the formed worlds from the unformed. So, you know, in the higher realms, they're being reformed and things are changing. And 3D is where things are manifest and they really start to change. So this is happening. They have been associated with Neptune, prophecy, fertility, even family. There's the Neptune again, because they're always in the state of metamorphosis. They reflect the same of those with the elephant totem. And, you know, on several occasions in the past, I have participated, this is what Ted says, during the summer in psychic events that were held outdoors. On occasions for a change of pace, I did cloud readings using the cloud formations to stimulate the psychic energies. I would hold the individual's hands, look up into the sky, and then talk about what I saw in the cloud formations and how it reflected in the individual's life. It is fun and could be a nice change of pace. On every occasion I have done this. So you may, with your increased perception, you may see things in the clouds you've never seen before. I see some amazing things in the clouds, but I don't want to get into it because we have a little bit shortage of time here. I've done this, and one of the things I see in cloud formation is like an elephant. It would be years before I understood the connection. One of the most astounding features of the elephant is the trunk, because the elephant has poor eyesight. And, you know, I was talking about eyesight, so here, I actually didn't totally realize how bad their eyes can be. It relies on its sense of smell, and this is important. This sense of smell, this opening within humanity is really going to open up. It breathes through the trunk and discerns from smells. The sense of smell is a long symbol for higher forms of discrimination. Those with the elephant totem should pay attention to what smells good and what smells bad. Your intuition, they could say here. Are you discriminating as you should or others? You know, this is a time where we have to look at friendships and things. Do they work in our lives? Do we have to change them? It's important that we do change them. Does something smell funny? Are you responding even though things don't smell right? For those with the elephant totem, working with incense and fragrant oils can be a powerful and effective tool. And I was talking with a friend of mine last night, Jim, and he works with fragrant oils, and he wants to come on the show again, so we may talk about that aspect. Aromatherapy should be studied and used. Oils and fragrances will help to shift your consciousness most effectively. The sense of smell is strongly connected to sexual drive. It is one of the most powerful stimulants. And smells may become an aphrodisiac with those with this totem. It may be a powerful means of seduction or being seduced. This further enhances symbolism, an elephant as a sexual symbol. It's very versatile. And, you know, the trunk is used for drinking, showering, and defense. So they use it a lot. Elephants even greet by touching trunks. So it's like their hands, you know, touch. The trunk has two finger-like extensions. This specialized nose and upper lip combination make it work almost like a hand. With it, they feed upon twigs, leaves, and grasses, and it would not otherwise been able to reach. You know, when we do healing work, we use our hands. This is an extension of that connection with energy and moving energy also for the elephant. You know, elephants, like the trees, you know, elephants are like trees, they're big, you know, the energy is reflected, you know, in the leaves, the tips of the leaves and the roots, you know, the extensions of the main trunk. Anyway, the trunk is really important in an elephant. Again, it reflects that through the increased sensitivity of smell and the elephant stimulates, you can open to energies and worlds otherwise inaccessible. The trunk's another important part of the elephant. Unfortunately, poachers kill an outrageous number of elephants. I think Christy Brinkley went to Africa to talk about, you know, protecting the elephants because they are an important part of us. And, you know, anyone with an elephant totem, the significance of ivory from a spiritual and physical aspect should be examined. So, you know, that connection. The tusks are used as weapons, as tools for digging edible roots. This gives the elephant links to things beneath and above the earth. Knowledge of the plants and roots, like I was talking about with the trees. So this is that connection. You know, everything is connected. The elephant society is divided by age and gender. And cows and calves live in all female herds led by a wise old cow. This reflects the ancient tradition of three forms of feminine energies in life. Now, there's the number three again, the child, the mother, and the old wise woman. These three forms have been found in most societies in which mystery teachings of life in the universe exist. Bulls occasionally join the female herds. This is usually just for mating. The rest of the time, they usually live in bachelor herds, which are run by older, tougher bulls. Again, this has been duplicated in many societies around the world. Both men and women have their societies and their sacred teachings about elephants. Elephants show great affection and loyalty to each other. Older calves will help younger siblings. Grown elephants help sick or wounded. You know, the elephant are the ideals of two societies. So they work together. It's important that humanity work together and connect in a way that is very positive for everyone. So, you know, a lot of people will be looking at their friendships. Those who have an elephant as totem will usually find themselves in a position where the opportunity to reestablish powerful family and social ideals will be of their own self. These are the foundations of a great person, a great society. If an elephant has come to you, you'll have the opportunity to work towards establishing this within your own life or the lives of others. If an elephant has come to you, prepare to draw upon the most ancient of power, and you will have the opportunity to help yourself and others reclaim your most royal and primal part of yourself. I just want to mention that elephant bones and, you know, tusks are things that are old, the old, and we want to bring in the new. I was wanting to touch on, you know, clouds a little bit more, but I want to talk about the dragonfly, the power of light on 340. And, you know, I talk about dragonflies a lot. That's a very powerful totem for me, and they're very ancient. They're over 180 million years old, and they're beautiful and have beautiful colorings and multidimensional beings and fairy connections. And they have enormous eyes, and they're known for their flight and their feet. They can stop and start and turn and twist and do all sorts of newfangled things. There's dragonflies and damsels. Flies, and they inhabit two realms, water and air. And so in their early life, they live as a nymph in the water, and they go through their metamorphosis. So humanity is going through metamorphosis right now. So if you find that you have dragonfly, it's important to be very, you know, look at your emotions and your passions, just like the elephant, and to balance them, you know, and not shut them down. And to look at your emotions, it's important right now. So it's important for humanity to do that. They're very territorial. They will lay their eggs within their territory near the water, and you know, the egg develops into the nymph stage of metamorphosis in the insect. You know, I've been talking about the butterfly metamorphosis of humanity, and you know, different aspects. This is the water, you know, not the plant, earth like the butterfly, but they both, you know, are air. So just as light can bend and shift and be adapted in many variety of ways, so can forces associated with a dragonfly. It's more adaptable. You know, that's why I was saying at the beginning of the show to go more within yourself and look at the strength within yourself. Keep that strength fast within yourself, and you'll have the strength on the outside of yourself. That's why things on the outside of ourselves are changing so much, because of what is happening energetically within ourselves. We're becoming stronger. We're becoming more connected with Source. We're becoming more connected to oneness and with the animals and with the trees and the plants and the elephants and the dragonflies and the frogs and the birds. You know, I talk about all those things. The realm of light, and they're the only out during the day as they're cold-blooded. Summer is their most powerful time, and they need the warmth and light of the sun. You know, we're talking about humanity and taking in more light. Well, these beings need the light. You know, they spend outside in the sun near fresh water. You know, I live near fresh water, and I see many of them. I've been seeing red ones, and they're like dragon energy. You know, some have multicolors, and they look iridescent green sometimes, and they can be a solid color sometimes too. Their ability to reflect and reflect light and color has caused them to be associated with many types of magic and mysticism, and you know, color magic, illusion, causing them to, you know, see more than you could see before. You know, when you look at the dragonfly and you connect with the dragonfly, it opens you up to more perception. I think that's what they're saying here, and that's what I see. They land on me, they look at me, they stand and look at me for like an hour sometimes. They've been depicted in Japanese paintings representing new light and joy and living in the moment. And to Native Americans, they represent the souls of the dead. Now, some people speak of the time when they used to be real dragons. And, you know, we assume that dragons have to be gigantic beasts breathing fire, but, you know, the fairy realm come in many sizes and shapes. And I talked, I think, 3 weeks ago about the fairy realm. So if you want to go back in the archives, you can go a little bit more into that. You know, they reflect the sun and the energy and the beauty and transformation. So, you know, humanity is going through this massive transformation. Are you resisting change? Are you going within yourself? Dragonflies remind us that we are light and we can reflect the light in powerful ways if we choose to do so. We can have that strength within ourselves and open up that divine connection with Source. It's really important that humanity do this right now. It's always been there, but the being aware of it is more open now to people. You know, life is never quite the way it appears, but it's always with light and color. You know, Dragonfly can help you see things through your illusions and thus allow you to let your light to shine forth. You know, it's time of transformation. It's time of beauty. And, you know, I think it's, you know, if we can look at it in that way, people won't live in that fear. And, you know, trees give us strength. If you go out and, you know, look at that, those trees and connect with them, and trees help you ground yourself to the earth and help you manifest easier. A lot of people don't know that. But, I'm letting you know right now that's something that humanity should be connecting to. I wanted to talk a little bit about that, Aries lunar eclipse. And there is this article. It's Sabian Art, Astrology for the Evolution of Consciousness. We're going through an evolution right now and a shift in consciousness for humanity. It's 12-12, by the way. New gateways opening October 18th, 2013, this is written for. So it's a little, I guess, for tomorrow. The lunar eclipse. It says, in the last post, we were hoped that our leaders in Washington would use the energy of the October 4th new moon to forge a compromise and keep the government from suspending operations. This is in the U.S. As we know, this did not happen. Now the critical day of October 17, 2013, a lot of things are happening today, looms even closer. Will the House, Senate, and executive branch work out their differences and raise the debt ceiling in addition to working out a budget and opening the government? In the strange and surreal world of Washington, D.C., rhetoric and health care exchanges set up under the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare, are similarly modeled to the Massachusetts care system set up then by GOP Governor Mitt Romney. Despite what you've heard, health care won't be free and it won't kill us. Probably not. So people have a lot of fears. So I'm telling to people, go within yourself and see that strength within yourself, and you can shift things here. Put out the intention that we have strength, we see health within ourselves and the health system, great, and, you know, it will be affordable. So why the crazy, bizarre rhetoric from a small fraction of the GOP? There's much more going on here than opposed to healthcare reform. This is a well-written and thought-provoking article at Dig on the rise of the Tea Party movement, addressing the social and economic issues that have created opportunities movement. Anyway, I was hoping to kind of get a different aspect on it, but they're using this aspect. So it's the evolution of consciousness, and they're just mentioning all that stuff about the government. It's an awakening. And the feeling that significance changes in the energy of the collective consciousness. And I've seeing it and feeling it, I'm feeling the energy. You know, I'm very perceptive, but humanity is becoming more perceptive, like I was saying. For some of us, this provokes primal fear, denial, and rage. And it's important to see beyond that and not to react with those emotions, because as a collective, we don't want to have a great revolt and have problems right now, because the energies could cause that, you know. And this Pluto square is coming up, and us going back and looking at a lot of different aspects of things that haven't worked can make people get angry. The great influx of light continues to illuminate stagnant darkness and decay, and for many this is unacceptable. Well, because they don't understand what's going on. They're not opening up to it. So I'm putting an intention out that humanity go within themselves, see that there is changes coming, and to be patient, and to know that what we change within ourselves can be manifested. So what we do, and we have peace and love within ourselves, we can recreate that around us, okay? There's much resistance to change while holding on to the remnants of the past, control, domination, and, you know, the lunar eclipse tends to heighten unconscious reactions and intensify emotions. And this Aries, warlike thing opening us up, but it's also going to open us up to good things and to revelation, to understanding and perception, like I said at the beginning. The opportunity to compromise may lose its way given the desire to win at all costs, and winning seems to be the name of what's going on right now in Washington, D.C. So I would like to read a different aspect of it, but I will post that later on after the show, because I'm, you know, this comet, the life and death of the comet Ison, you know, I was talking about that. This is a comet that is the most anticipated astronomical event of 2013, it says here. It's a tale of self-destruction more than 4 billion years in the making. Like every comet, C-2012-SI, better known to the world as Comet Ison, is dying. You could say the story of its demise began 14 months ago when two observers near a city in Russia stumbled across a dim, fuzzy object while they scanned the sky near the constellations Cancer and Gemini. And the fuzz was the outer layer of the comet Ison, disintegrating and dispersing as it accelerated toward the warmth of the sun. You could push back further and trace the comet's downfall to a fateful event a few million years earlier. At the time, it was an inert chunk of ice, dust, and frozen gases, floating many motionless in the outermost region of the solar system, 1,000 times more distant than Pluto. You know, right now, think about it, you know, a lot of the ice on the Earth has melted, and, you know, the sun and the energy within humanity is becoming more dispersed and more powerful. And then this chunk of ice is coming along, and it's going to have some impact. Then some unknown disturbance, perhaps a nudge of a passing star, dislodged the comet from a stasis and sent it on a self-destructed sunward plunge. Or could you say the comet Ison's end was foretold 4.56 billion years ago when it's, and trillions of others like it formed during the birth of the solar system. Some of the comets collided with the infant planets on the Earth. They helped build the atmosphere and fill the oceans. So, you know, a lot of these comets that collided with Earth actually helped create, you know, was part of that creative energy. But some of the comets were flung outward into distant cold storage. In a sense, the sunward journey of Comet Ison is homecoming after a long exile. So, you know, it could release a lot of energy that could recreate life in a whole different way. So just think of it in that way. Regardless of the story and how it begins, we know exactly when it reached its climax. At 1:41 p.m. Eastern on November 28, 2013, when the ice pack comet Ison reaches the closest point to the sun, passing less than 750,000 miles, 1.2 million kilometers above the solar surface. There, Ison will roast at more than 2,000 degrees Celsius, hotter than 3,600 degrees Fahrenheit, boiling off layer after layer of its frozen surface. So it's going to cause a lot of water vapor. In the process, it will offer a first-hand look at the raw material that the Earth and other planets were built from when the solar system was formed. So this is creative energy. We're going back to that creative energy again. I can feel it. Maybe some diminished portion of the comet will remain intact. Maybe it will break apart and disperse entirely. Either way, the public unraveling of the comet Ison will be a cause for celebration, not mourning. Comet Ison is an extraordinary, rare object, says Laura Lees of Johns Hopkins University, who's coordinating an international observing campaign. It's just not hyperbole. We are going to go to the town on it. We're going to learn a lot. So this is a time for us to learn a lot. You know, I went and saw that movie Gravity with Sandra Bullock and George Clooney. It was a really interesting time. It was an interesting movie, and I don't want to go into it too much, but it was the strength of going within to connect with things from the past to propel us and learn. You know, something that may have been energy to slow something down can be used in the opposite way to propel us forward. And, you know, Earth is an amazing planet, and probably one of the first planets ever created. It is the origin of life and some amazing life and of creation. So we got to see what's going to happen with this, you know, comet that's coming. What else is it going to talk about? I was going to talk about Neptune, that energy of Neptune. Neptune, the outermost planet in the solar system, I guess that's what it's being called now, is covered by icy blue methane clouds that whip around the globe at speeds more than 1,100 kilometers an hour. Though its diameter is 4 times of the Earth, it is 17 times as massive. It's less dense and doesn't have a solid surface. 11 moons orbit Neptune, the largest, which is Triton. 11 moons. That's amazing, eh? That's a magic number, too. It's the 8th and furthest planet from the Sun in the solar system. It is the 4th largest planet by diameter and 3rd largest by mass. And it's very, you know, gaseous. Neptune is most dense, and it's 17 times the mass of the Earth. There's that number again, 17. It's slightly more massive than its twin Uranus, which is 15 times the mass of Earth, but not as dense. On average, Neptune orbits the Sun at a distance of 30.1 AUs, approximately 30 times the Earth-Sun distance, named from the Roman god of the sea. Its astronomical symbol is like a trident. And Neptune was the first planet found by mathematical prediction rather than by empirical observation. Unexpected changes in the orbit of Uranus led Alex Bouvard to deduce that its orbit was subject to gravitational perturbation by an unknown planet. Neptune was observed on the 23rd of September, 1846, by Jean Gall within the degree of prediction by Urbain Le Verrier. In its largest moon, Triton was discovered shortly thereafter. Though none of the planet's remaining 13 moons were located telescopically until the 20th century, Neptune has been visited only by one spacecraft, Voyager 12, which flew by the planet on August the 25th, 1989. It's similar in composition to Uranus, and both have compositions which differ from those of larger planets. And Neptune's atmosphere, while similar to Jupiter's and Saturn, is composed primarily of hydrogen and helium, along with traces of hydrocarbon and nitrogen, contains a higher proportion of ices, as water, ammonia, and methane. Astronomers sometimes categorize Uranus and Neptune as ice giants. In order to emphasize these distinctions, the interior of Neptune, like that of Uranus, is primarily composed of ice and rock. It is possible the core has a solid surface, but the temperature would be 1,000 degrees and the atmosphere pressure crushing. Traces of methane in the outermost regions in the part account for the planet's blue appearance. In contrast to the hazy, relatively featureless atmosphere of Uranus, Neptune's atmosphere is noted for its active and visible weather patterns. It's amazing winds. For example, at the time of the 1989 Voyager 2 flyby, the planet's southern hemisphere possessed a great dark spot compared to the great red spot on Jupiter. These weather patterns are driven by the strong sustained wind of any planet in the solar system, with recorded wind speeds as high as 2,100 kilometers per hour. Because of its great distance from the Sun, Neptune's outer atmosphere is one of the coldest places in the solar system, with temperatures at its cloud tops approaching 55 Kelvin, which is minus 218 degrees Celsius. Temperatures at the planet's center are approximately 5,000 degrees Celsius, so it's big difference. It has a faint, fragmented ring system and labeled arches, which have been detected during the 1960s. But so it's amazing what's been going on, you know, with, you know, the Neptune. I had something else, and I'm not sure where I put it, but I will try to find it. Okay. I wanted to talk about clouds. Clouds hold the symbolic meaning of revelation. And, you know, there's a lot of clouds on the earth. And consider out of the mists of the deepest thoughts, suddenly an epiphany comes, a bright idea comes out of nowhere in the space of cloud meaning. Depending on the cards, clouds are also symbolized confusion or clouded judgment. Primarily, clouds represent higher thought and messages from the design, the divine. So clouds are connected to elephants. There's clouds in Neptune. Neptune is, you know, an amazing planet. And this comet, there's a lot of stuff going on the planet around us right now. There's a lot of stuff going on within humanity and a lot of changes. So it's the cloud meaning prompts a feeling of epiphany. Have you ever been stuck out of the blue with an utterly delicious idea? So, you know, ideas are going to come out of nowhere. Our perception is going to open up. Our intuition is going to open up. The analytical mind is going to shift. Our rational minds have no need for clouds. It's intuitive, the elemental of the clouds. You know, that's what they're saying here. So think of it as, you know, opening yourself up to new perception, okay? This is going to be an amazing time. And we just got to see beyond, you know, what we have here. I'm trying to find that, maybe, okay, about the November 1st. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Uranus-Pluto square. You know, people use it to do all sorts of things, predict, you know, energy shifts, things happening with monetary systems. And, you know, we're going through these seven squares, the Uranus-Pluto square, right? And June the 21st, 2012 is the first one. September 19th, 2012 was the second. May 20th, 2013 was the third. November 1st, 2013 is the fourth, and April 21st, 2014 is the fifth, the sixth, December 15th, 2014, and the seventh is March 16th, 2015. So there's going to be a lot of changes and a lot of energy changing within these things. I just wanted to remind people of that. So when it gets closer to the time of November 1st, I'll talk a little bit more about repercussions and what it means to everybody here, okay? I'm just trying to find something that I maybe do comment. I have just a couple more minutes. The ladybug. I wanted to talk a little bit about the ladybug. I've been seeing a lot of ladybugs. I was at the beach the other day. One bit me on the top of the foot, so it was giving me some blessing to make me really start to notice it. I was looking at all the ones on the beach. They were cuddling, and, you know, the ladybug's medicine requires carrying the golden strand that leads to the center of the universe, past life, spiritual enlightenment, death and rebirth, renewal, regeneration, fearlessness, protection, good luck. You know, all the things that going within and feeling, like, you know, I was talking about how people are going to feel fearful. The ladybug, when you meditate, picture a ladybug and the strength and the peace that you get from that ladybug. You know, it's small and brightly colored. It can have yellow or black or red markings, and it belongs to the beetle family. It's found on all climates and latitudes. And, you know, its shell gives it protection. So we do have protection around us, you know, but it's not the protection of things on the outside of us, per se. It's from within ourselves. They have vibrations within their legs, allowing them to sense, you know, the energy around them and what's going on around them. So they're using their omnisensory. The color warns it to stay away. Anyway, the ladybug is still liked very much by humans. Its small size symbolizes gentle, loving nature. And they give off an energy of being harmless. This shows us how to stop harming ourselves. You know, it's important now that we don't be self-abusive. We love ourselves and we increase our self-esteem. And, you know, the ladybug is fearless. You know, as I saw, the one that took a little chomp out of me, it didn't hurt. But, you know, it was message or promise. They want us to get back in touch with the joy of living. They want us to let go of our fears and go back to our roots to love. We're also taught to restore our trust. There's that word trust again, faith in the universe, and we have to get ourselves, our egos, you know, get over ourselves and our egos. It's not all about us. It's about everyone. And it's all about going along the course of the flow, flying. You know, the ladybug has its roots in the Middle Ages when it was dedicated to the Virgin Mary and called the Beetle of Our Lady. This links us to spiritual idealism and the divine source energy of the divine infinite feminine energy. You know, daily meditation is recommended for people on the ladybug just to help, you know, with that fear. And ladybugs produce sexually with female laying eggs. This life cycle is only 4 weeks long, meaning that over summer, several generations are produced, linking the ladybug to the energies of regeneration and renewal. And I'm seeing that. You know, I was watching this show the other day, and I kept seeing things about regeneration and renewal and eternal life. The light part of ourselves is always live. It's the physical body here, and that's changing too. We're going to be having expanded lifespans, too, with the energy that's changing. So, you know, it's important for us to, you know, go within ourselves and regenerate. Use that solar plexus to regenerate yourself. See that sun. Look at this lunar eclipse, and what can you learn about yourself? What can you do within yourself? You know, due to its diet, the ladybug often has parasites. A message to those with this power animal, look after the digestive system. The ladybug showing up in one's life foretells a time of luck and protection. Boy, oh boy, so that there you go, where wishes start to become actualized. The seasons of autumn and spring will be the most plentiful times for those with this power animal. And this is autumn. Worries will quickly disperse with ladybug appears as a shield us from our aggressors, paving the way for newfound happiness. Aim high, you will get what you focus on. However, ladybug also cautions us not to force or try to try hard to fulfill your wishes. Go with flow. It's in the fifth dimensional conscious. Live in the moment. Just let things happen. Take their natural course. Your wishes will come true in their own good time. So just see yourself as an extension of this energy, this fearless energy. You know, I was thinking about pumpkins and Thanksgiving and vitamin A and vitality and the bright orange color of vitality and fieriness and the sun, you know, and everything else. This energy is pretty powerful. You know, I'm trying to find that thing about Neptune. I for some reason I can't find it. So I'm supposed to find something else. Let me see. Let me try. Try something like this. Because I want to, you know, talk about it because I said I would talk about it. Okay. Well, that's not very good. Okay. I think, you know, the thing about Neptune is the psychic ability and the clouds and the elephant and that nose part and the trunk. I'm getting this information right now. It has something to do with intuitiveness, omnisensory, things opening up. I'm connecting to source right now. Information about the planets, it says, is being constantly updated. And astrological meaning, the planet Neptune has an almost perfectly circular orbit. It represents part of our nature that strives for perfection that looks to some higher ideal. The planet Neptune rules the ocean and part of us that's beyond the limits of the shores of personal existence. So that holds the frequency, the water within us, you know, that the culture moves the cycles of Neptune and is a primary indicator of your connection to the culture that you live in. The sign of Neptune shows the ideal that you desire to manifest. The house placement of Neptune shows that area of your life that you want to express this ideal in. The aspects of Neptune indicate the most direct connections, yet most supple networking of your personality into the world at large. So we're going to reconnect, and with different people. The planet Neptune was named after the Roman god Neptune, who is a Roman version of the Greek god Poseidon. Poseidon was the god of the seas. The Greeks were seafaring people and traveled by boat, which is very important but dangerous part of their lives. Poseidon was strong and a powerful god who would cause storms, earthquakes, and other catastrophes before embarking on the journey by boat. Greeks would say prayers to Poseidon, asking for safety and protection upon returning, give thanks to him. Poseidon's great strength and ferocity were evident from his earliest days. So Poseidon is going to give us strength, this Neptune energy, when he fought with his brothers Zeus and Hades against Titans. After the victory, Zeus, the leader of the battle, claimed the sky for himself, and he awarded Hades with the rulership of the underworld and Poseidon with the rulership of the ocean. The strong, easily angered god Poseidon does not seem to exhibit the astrological qualities of Neptune, which is intuition, receptivity, idealism, and passivity. So these are times where we rely on our intuition, rely on our inner strength, don't react with a lot of emotion, and be receptive to source. Some of the beings who accompanied Poseidon were magical and sensitive, and therefore Neptune in their character. Poseidon was attended by sea goddesses called... Anyway, so I just get intuition about Neptune. It's magic. And, you know, when Neptune comes during a retrograde, I found something here. Let me see. Okay. It's a mysterious planet. When it goes retrograde, it means the angle from which you view it, it appears to be traveling backwards. It gets even more mysterious. Anyway, so basically Neptune is, you know, has something to do with opening that psychic intuitive ability within yourself, but also connecting to source. Many mystics and healers and those practicing the psychic and occult arts are governed by this most definable planet. So people that are psychic, it says that they're... in its most negative expression, the planet Neptune, with its subtle and imperceptible rays, may confuse individuals that have not reached a sufficiently high enough level of evolution to receive these spiritual promptings clearly. The aspiration to the spiritual state being of one's innate nature impels many people to explore and indeed attempt to experience the power of Neptune through such things as drugs. So it's important not to do that, though. It's important to meditate and to look at that aspect from, you know, connection to source and opening up the heart. And we're going back to look at materialization and the material world. And this will help humanity look within themselves to see that aspect of their consciousness and of the limited ego. This is coming to me through source. So ego, we were talking about at the beginning, we're going to see ego in a different light. We're going to see ego as something that we can use, not something that is going to take over and control us. It's how compassionate and empathetic that we see things after we connect with Neptune, that we're going to be helping, humanity is going to be connecting more with their fellow man and helping their neighbor who may not be as well off as they are. I was talking to this friend of mine last night, and he, you know, he goes out and helps people things that they can't do on their own. He's like an advocate. So, you know, it's important that we try to be advocates to each other. And this Neptune energy really connects to this. And, you know, time and space has also something to do with this aspect of Neptune, going into the now time. is really important. And looking at and unveiling our own power within ourselves and the strength. So Neptune is really strong, is going to be very strong. And so, you know, maybe next week I'll talk a little bit more about this because I should get going. I've gone over time here. I guess people didn't have a lot of questions, but Nettie says, hi, Diane. And I said, hi back. And I'm going to just say, have a wonderful rest of the week. Give thanks for everything you have in your life. Go within and go deeper. You know, if you put out the intention to have understanding and to expand your consciousness and allow it to happen, you go like the fearless ladybug and you have the clouds of the divine energy. You know, like think of things, you know, if you see things in a like a visual sort of way, or play music that'll help you relax, music that reminds you of ladybug, of elephant, of opening up the third eye, you know, opening up to not necessarily the third eye, but that energy that opens us up to more perception, okay? Anyway, much love, and I will talk to you next week, Thursday at 11 a.m. for Fifth Dimensional Living. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Fifth Dimensional Living with your host, Diane Bachberger, bringing awareness to our world of greater love. For more information on Diane, please visit www.facebook.com/dbachberger1. May your heart and mind always be open to experiencing a greater world.